Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Rav Krimsky. I just want to say before beginning the shiur itself that it's truly been a great pleasure for me these last couple of weeks, first of all, to learn with the four outstanding Talmidim that comprise the kol here in Stanford. And really, it was a treat for me to see the broad community involvement in so many different aspects, which they're just enumerated, so I don't have to go over them again. And I'm grateful to have had this chance to be part of it, and whatever I was able to contribute and share in terms of learning. The community has a lot to be proud of, it seems to me. And I know that in a lot of the emails or the day-to-day summaries, I guess, of the different activities, one of the logos was, the flame of Torah burns in Stanford. I think that was the line. I would just add that it burns brightly, Baruch Hashem. And it's really because of some of the people here, again, names were enumerated before, and I certainly am indebted to Rabbi Krimsky for, we know each other from earlier, from Yeshiva University, and for a while lived in Teaneck and down to my shul. And, I know of his devotion to his community, to Klal Yisrael as a whole, and to chinuch, and to education is just terrific. You have a wonderful person leading this shul and being a leader in this community. And hopefully go Michael Achayel. And of course, I have to acknowledge my dear friends, the Feldsteins. We go back many, many years before any of us were married. And, the devotion to the community again was outlined, but I know so many calls, emails, and it was through their efforts that I really also got very involved. And just been a wonderful experience for me. And I thank all of you. And hopefully you'll gain something and have gained and will continue to grow. And the community will continue to, as I say, burn brightly, Be'ez Hashem. I was asked that the rabbi said to speak about the question of inclusion within Klal Yisrael. I entitled this shiur, it's not exactly a shiur, not fully in the classic sense, although we'll look at some sources, which I like to do, as some of you may have noticed. The official title, Full Membership in Klal Yisrael, Some Halacha Consideration. So the beginning point, when dealing with the question of treating all members of the Jewish community, those who may have certain disabilities, those whether it's physical disabilities or intellectual, mental disabilities, and so on, as part of Klal Yisrael, is all rooted in a pasuk in the beginning of the Chumash. And the truth of the matter is the pasuk is talking about all of mankind. We're focusing now on the Jewish community, on Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, at the time of the creation of man, in the first source, Bereishis, Parak Aleph, pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, Vayivra Elokim, as Adam B'tzalmo, B'tzalmo Elokim Baroso, Zachon Ekev Barosam, that God created man in his image. And therefore, the simple reading of this verse that every human being, and we're focusing now on members of Klal Yisrael, has Tzalmo Elokim. Every single person has that image of the divine, that spark of the divine, however exactly you define it. Our salvation Chol Vocha spoke at some length and written, wrote at some length about the notion of the of what it means to be B'Tzalmo Elokim, as of many others. But every person has some relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's firmly implanted as part of his or her very psyche, and that's got nothing to do necessarily with a person's physical appearance, with his intellectual abilities and so on. That's everybody. So the first thing, when we talk about a concept of Kavod HaBrios in general, again, extending to all of mankind, and to membership, so to speak, in Klal Yisrael inclusion, is we need to recall that everybody was created B'Tzelem Elokim. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the second source, Lefichach Nivra Adam Yechidi, L'Hagiloso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that all of us are different is, in fact, a testament to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, She'odam Tovei HaKamam HaBeos B'chosam Echad Kulam Domen Zeh L'Zeh. If you come up with some type of a press or a stamp that a human being develops, so you'll stamp many things that all come out exactly the same. There's one stamp, and you keep stamping, so or a press, or some type of instrument like that, so every one of them is exactly the same. However, Melech Malchem Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tova Kol Adam Echosom Shal Adam Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates every human being with the same basic stamp, so to speak, based on Adam Rishon. But Ein Echad Mem Domel Chavero. Everybody is different. No two people are exactly alike, whether physically, mentally, intellectually, and so on. And that's what everybody, Lefichach Kol Echad Vechad Chayav Lomer Bishvili Nivra Olam. Every person has to say and have the attitude that for me, the world was created. That includes everybody, which means that even a person who appears to be perhaps not like everybody else, but he doesn't look like everyone else, doesn't behave like everybody else, is still entitled to say that the world was created for me. And again, these are two concepts, the concept Tzelem Elokim, the concept of Shuli Nivra Olam, are points to bear in mind when relating to anybody. It's a message for every teacher in terms of chinuch. It's a message to every member of a community in terms of including all people in whatever activities the Jewish tzibur is involved in. The Medrash says in Parashas Tanchum and Parashas Pinchas Siman Yud says, "Kishem she'ein partzufeim shoven zel lazeh, kachein daitam shoven zel lazeh." Just as no two people have the same physical appearance, nobody looks exactly like, even identical twins, but there's some differences, slight differences, maybe not everybody could tell right away, but there are differences. So kach ein daitem shoven lazeh, so too intellectually, and in terms of ability, in terms of talents and so on, no two people are exactly alike. Ella kol echad ve'echad yeshol das bifnei atzma, everybody has his own approach. Now, what's important about that is that every people learn differently, people understand differently, people function differently. Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Today, the common term in education is diverse learners. Diverse learners, all kinds of words, politically correct, politically incorrect, which is beyond, you know, what I want to speak about exactly. But there are diverse learners. And sometimes we as parents and sometimes we as educators get frustrated with children, with youngsters who maybe learn or understand things differently, and we expect everybody to sort of conform. In fact, it's interesting, I think that, and forgive me, and this may be objected to in some circles, but I feel that a failing in contemporary Jewish education, and again, please forgive me, but I think it's even more so in, you know, the quote-unquote more right-wing communities and so on, everybody's expected to be cookie-cutter and look the same and act the same and dress the same and pursue the same derech in life. I don't think that's particularly healthy. And I didn't come up, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I happen to be very close with Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursky, the famous psychiatrist. He lives in my community, daven in my shul. It's a wonderful person to have in your shul. Not only because when you're away for Shabbos in Stanford or someone else, Rabbi Tversky can substitute and give the drosha, which the people probably like better than the rabbi's own drosha. But in general, a wonderful, reasonable person to talk to, and he's an expert in many areas. And he said he feels that that's different when he was growing up, and now the man, Baruch Hashem, is over 80 years old. He said growing up, and you know, when he was in yeshiva and so on, you know, people had personalities. And now, he said, there's very often an attempt in many institutions to sort of squelch a person's personality, and everybody should be sort of, you know, do exactly the same thing, think exactly the same way. And he says the result of that is people are pushed into things that they don't really want to do, they're not really good at, and so on. Well, again, that's a discussion maybe for another time. But on our particular issue of inclusion, we're dealing with people who maybe think differently. And I have some experience. My youngest child is on the autistic spectrum. And my wife and I have learned many, many things just trying to raise, and hopefully with some success, a child. He's now Baruch Hashem, 17. And, you know, he functions, does what he can do. But we understood right away that he doesn't think the same way, doesn't act the same way. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a neshama. It doesn't mean he doesn't have abilities, and he doesn't have talent. So and sometimes we're so used to treating people one way, we don't realize there are people who think differently. Is it right? Is it wrong? That's what this medrash is saying. No, there's different ways of thinking. Shame, shame, parts of fame. Shoven zelazeh, kachein daitem, shoven zelazeh. I remember when my wife and I were a couple of summers ago in Eretz Yisrael. So we went with a couple of our children to one of these hikes in the Galil. You know, these water hikes where you walk. You know, they have tubes there and other things. Some of you perhaps have been there. And you walk. There's also a trail. So you walk along the water. You know, in the Dan, the Banyas area, northern the Galil. So it's very beautiful and so on. So we were there, and of course in the summertime in Eretz Yisrael, you better walk around with the bottles of water. So we had a big bottle of water, and our youngest son's name is Yosef. And so Yosef was holding the water, and at one point I wanted to, he was, my wife and I were walking, he was walking with one of the other children a few paces behind, and so on, so I wanted the water, okay, and we had given it to Yosef, and I said, Yosef, where's the water? So he points to the stream. Now, when you're dealing with a child who sometimes needs to be talked, brought into focus, it's one of the things you do is sort of like you ask him, you know, where's the chair? Where's the sitter? Where's, you know, so we're walking along the water. So he thought, I'm asking him where the water is. He points to the stream. I thought he meant that he threw the bottle of water into the stream. So I said, why did you throw the bottle into the stream? You know, I said, where's the water? I meant the bottle of water. He points to, you threw it into the water. Why did you throw it into the water? He stares at me. And me, a few paces later, is one of my other children. He's got the water. Oh, you want the water? So I realized, here I was yelling at my child. He thought I'm asking where the stream is, because we always ask him that question. Where's the water? He points over there. He was right. But I meant something different. He understood something different. So here I am yelling, and I think of this sometimes as an educator, as a parent, as a rabbi, and so on. We say something to somebody, they understood it differently. Who's right and who's wrong? Okay. In fact, I remember. I think you'll confirm the story, Michael. Your brother Eric. We had this discussion once years and years and years ago. You know, we were talking about IQ testing and some of the flaws in that kind of system. So I think I mentioned I have a cousin who a bright girl who underwent the IQ test whatever before she went into kindergarten, and there was a picture of somebody without a leg, and the tester asked what's missing. So the child answered crutches. Now that's not the right answer, but it's a very good answer. In fact, it is the right answer. It's a perfectly good answer. The answer that's on the piece of paper, of course, is a leg. But a child feels some of the legs, they have to have crutches. Is one answer better than the other? I don't think so. So I thought, your brother, he mentioned, I think whether it was him or that he went for some sort of a test and the person had clay or Play-Doh or something like that, or silly putty, and he asked him, when is there more clay? When I hold it like this, you have it in a ball, or when I hold it like this? So he said the second way. Then later on, he told his mother in the car, that guy thought just because he stretched it out, there's going to be more clay. So I told him that's what it is. Am I correct?
Yeah, story?
Yes. So I still remember because I've said that story over. So many times people think differently or they respond differently. This is one right and one's wrong. I remember one of my other children, my daughter, who's a little bit of an artist, and sometimes artistic people think differently also. So one of my sons, my boys were wild boys like some boys are, so he dumped out the wooden box where we keep all the silverware. You know, you have those boxes, those wooden boxes, and there's a little slot for the forks, another slot for the spoons, and so on. So he dumped it out, he was a little baby. So we asked her, it was Arab Shabbos, so we asked her to help put them away. So she put, you know, he's a little brother, so she cleaned up after her little brother. My wife went to serve, she called me to get ready to set the table for the show. She called me over to show me. Again, you have all these slots, right? So one is for the large forks, one is for the small forks, one's for the large spoons, the small. She put them in, and each slot was a large fork, a small fork, a knife, a spoon, a setting. That's very clever. Happens to be useful. Perfect. Take the, right? So what's right and what's wrong? Well, again, my point here is, Rav Osai, is that people think differently, people respond differently, and sometimes, you know, we lose our focus because we're so used to expecting one answer or one way of thinking when in fact this person may be thinking or maybe understanding differently or maybe not understanding at all. I remember, and sometimes they're doing this and sometimes they can't express it. I know, again, speaking as a teacher, we had a situation once, again with a young child, I was involved in a board and whatever it was, and it came out of the meeting that the child was learning addition and subtraction and was having terrible trouble with subtraction. Until they discovered that the child knew how to subtract very well, just didn't know what the word subtract meant. He didn't realize it meant to take away. He was able to do the mathematics, wasn't the problem. The language was the problem. The teacher said, you know, subtract 4 from 10. So he didn't know what that meant. So he didn't know the answer. Once he realized it meant take away, he was able to do the problem. Right? So you have many situations like that. And how many times do we lose patience with people? One of my favorite stories, again, this goes on in a classroom as well. You know, a teacher, and again, people process differently. A teacher will ask the student, you know, who was the first president of the United States? So really, 8 kids, hands shoot up. And they answer, George Washington, good. Now there's one kid who is still processing the question, did not hear any of the answers, is still processing that question because some people process things differently. So this child is still thinking, who's the first president of the United States? He comes over there. Meanwhile, the teacher asked the second question, who's the president of the United States today? This kid now raises his hand because he's processed the first question and he answers George Washington. Everybody laughs and the teacher says, get out. You're trying to disrupt my class? Do I make a joke out of this? This poor child has no idea what he did wrong. No, you know, he processed slowly. So I mention these examples because that's, I think, what the Medrash means. Kishem shen parts of Hussein, shoven zelazer, kachin daitem shoven zelazer. Because people think differently. So we have to be sensitive. When we talk about all aspects, we talk about chinuch, or we talk about including people or addressing people within a community, the fact that not everybody thinks the exact same way. Who's to blame for this? Nobody's to blame. That's the way they were created. The Gemara in the next source, in source 4 in Tainus, on Daf Chof Mer Aleph, tells a story. The Gemara says one of the Tanoim, one of the great rabbis, was walking someplace, or riding on his donkey actually, Umutayal Sfas HaNohar, and he came across Nizdamin Lo Adam Echosh Ramechur B'Yoser. He came across a person who looked exceedingly ugly. Looked so ugly, so disgusting, so looked terrible. Amar Shalom Alecha Rebbe. This individual, this ugly looking individual, greeted this rabbi, didn't respond. Amar Lo Reiker, kam mechur oso ish. And finally said, how ugly, how unpleasant looking is this person? Shema kol b'nei ircha mechur and kamoscha. He said, are all the people where you come from so ugly, so unattractive, so physically unappealing? So he answered, amalo, any of that, I don't know. El aleich ve'emor le'uman she'asani kam mechur klizeh she'asisa. Why don't you go tell the craftsman who made me that you find his handiwork to be very unattractive? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in a certain way. So you don't like it, so go complain to the craftsman who made me, right? And of course, immediately he realized, the rabbi realized he had spoken unpleasantly and so on, and he apologized and begged forgiveness. You can read the rest of the Gemara. At the end, he didn't want to forgive him for this, and later when he came to town, realized that this was a prominent person, so he said, for the sake of the community, I'll forgive you, but don't do that again. The lesson is, people are created differently. So you're going to go complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go tell him you didn't make an attractive or an appealing looking person. That's how it is. So there's no one to blame. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth source, Parak Beis Mishnah, don't judge somebody else until you're in his or her shoes. We have no right to assume that everybody should learn the same way, everyone should behave the same way, everyone should act the same way. You have to be tolerant, again, within bounds of reason, but of course, when especially in the communal setting. But there are certainly things that can be done within communities, within shul, to deal with all people. The fact of the matter is, I have in my shul, nothing to do with me, it's not about me. I have in my shul a young man who's Down syndrome, okay? He is a very prominent member of our shul. He's one of the gabbayim of our shul. Okay, so he gives out who opens the aron. He feels very much a part of our shul. It's interesting because he has an older brother. Davin our shul happens to be the gabbai of our shul, and when the brother's away, so he's not capable of properly of saying the yaz of yogin and whatever else when you call up for the aliyahs. But he does the other things. He comes over. Hushai is the davin mincha. He feels very much a part of the shul. He sets easier. He, together with an adult in the shul, sets up the shalashudas every week and so on. What I mean, you can find ways to include people in accordance with whatever abilities they have. And this person feels correctly. Why shouldn't he feel a member of the shul? He's not going to give up, get up and give a shir on Maseches Yevamos. Okay. But he can serve the community and be a member of the community in the way that he can. And there are many, many such things that can be done. We don't judge and write a person off just because he's different than we are. This is really the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves. The Gemara is a famous Gemara in Sotah, on the Yud Daram and Alvin, Surah 6. The Gemara says, it says in the Torah, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. You have to go to follow God, so to speak. Now we call that in the Latin, imitatio Dei, right? You have to imitate God. How can you follow God? God is Eish Ochla, fire, and so on and so forth. It means follow God's practices. Mahu malbi sharumim afatah malbi, afatah halbi sharumim. Kadosh Baruch Hu mevaker cholim, and so on. He takes care of the sick. So Kadosh Baruch Hu cares for everybody. We have to care for everybody also. And in fact, these are considered to be simon and physical, behavioral signs of the Jewish people. The Gemara said, "Yevamos Tafayin Tes Shlosha Simonim Yesh Buma Hazos." There are three identifying factors that should be typical of the Jewish people: Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. Rachmanim means that we have Rachmanis, so we extend our Rachmanis to everybody. But let me stress, not because we're doing this. In other words, I want to put this the wrong way. We deal with a child who has autism, or an adult who has autism, adult who's Down syndrome. Not because he's my chesed project, right? I mean, it's nice to have chesed project and chesed hours and so on and so forth in the schools. I'm all in favor of it, but that's not the attitude. It's another human being, is a friend of mine, and I have no reason I can't talk to him on his level. Not because I'm a nebuch, I feel bad for him. That's not the issue, right? These people, I remember when my son Yosef Dov became bar mitzvah a few years ago. So he was very clear. He wanted to say he has two older brothers, and he knew very well. One of the things, he happens to have a very good memory, but he knows very well what we did by the bar mitzvahs of his older brothers, and he wanted the same thing, namely on a Friday night all the family should eat at our home. We have a large family room. We can seat a lot of people. We have Baruch Hashem a lot of simchas and shem brachas there. But he wanted the whole family over. He was not able to lay in the whole sedges. So he made the brachas on the Torah. But he wanted, and then the Motzei Shabbos, he wanted to have something. We did. We did what was appropriate for him. But it was very clear what he wanted. He knew right away. In fact, right now, he's in his last year of high school. He attends I live in Teaneck, so there's a program called Sinai, a school. called Sinai, which he attends, and he's made it very clear he wants to, all of his siblings went to Eretz Yisrael after high school, so he feels he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael after high school too. And we have issues to look into. There is a program in Eretz Yisrael now that started, and the boys' program is housed in Gush Etzion, Yeshiva Har Etzion. So we have to look into it, we have to decide whether it's the right thing. But he's very clear that he wants. He said he's going to come home for Pesach. He's got the whole thing, the whole thing all worked out. You know, he figured out. He'll say he's home. He'll be there for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot and Chanukah and Purim, and he'll come home for Pesach. So then I said to him, "This is not." My wife asked him, "But Joseph, what are you going to do when you come back?" So he said, "I'll go to BYU." Both his brothers did that, so why shouldn't he do that? That's what he said, you know. And don't think my wife didn't speak to President Jones, and maybe we'd have to create something for these children. Okay, another discussion. But I'm saying, he thinks his way. He doesn't view himself as different or as somebody's project. And so I mentioned, because on that Friday night, my father, we had the family over, so my father said a Dvar Torah for the family at the meal. And he said, at the end of the day, he wants to love and be loved just like everybody else. He wants to have a connection with human beings just like anybody else. He doesn't want to be somebody. So I mentioned Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomel, and Chasodim. It's really the combination, not just, Nebuch, there's this poor kid or poor adult with Down syndrome where we feel bad. We do feel bad, of course, but ultimately it's Gomel, Chasodim, it's Chesed that we bestow upon everybody. It's interesting that there's a certain things that I'll put it in a different way. There are things that we can learn from people who think differently and behave differently. Not just, as I said before, that we're doing them a favor. There are things that we can learn from them as well, from some, because there's a certain Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah and Parsha Hay and Siman Aleph has a story of a mashal about a king who had the people who were not able to speak properly and so on and so forth, and they were so respectful to the king and so on and so forth, and they saluted him and they treated him well. And he said, "Wow, if I have these kinds of people, imagine if I have people who are intelligent, you know, and who can speak and who can." So he brought them, and there was nothing but quarrels. You know, they want to take over the palace, and they're going to overthrow the king, the whole thing. There's a certain innocence, there's a certain purity that I think that, again, my wife and I see that with our son. Not that he doesn't sometimes get into trouble, but at the end, there's a certain purity of soul and purity of spirit. There are things we can derive from them. But from the point of view of chinuch and Torah education, it's clear that there's a mandate to train these children the same way we have to train other people. There's a long medrash I printed in Source 9 in the Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Zayin, Siman Aleph. So the medrash there comes out that when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, so there were different types of people coming out, right? You had people with this injury, and someone couldn't walk properly, someone else had a bad arm, and someone else couldn't see well, and so on. Sometime at the time of Matan Torah, everybody was at least temporarily cured. At least temporarily cured. What does it mean? I don't know if it means temporarily cured. It means everybody received the Torah. The Torah was given to everybody. The Torah wasn't only given to the people who have great intellectual ability or great physical ability. Everybody was given the Torah. In fact, to say a step further, you know, I keep drawing my son's bar mitzvah. It happened to be Parsha Shmos. And I mentioned in the shul, during my drosha, I said, Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu is assigned the mission of redeeming the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. As you all recall, he wasn't eager to accept that particular mission. And one of the things he said was, "I'm not a fluent speaker. I'm not a good public speaker." Right? That's what he said. Lo ish dvar manochi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, he said, "Me som pel adam, who is it that gives a person the ability to speak if not I?" Right? And most people learn is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." I suggested at that time that maybe that's not what the Pasuk means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I know your abilities very well. Nowhere does it say I'm going to cure you of this speech impediment that you have." Right? He stuttered, whatever it was, right? He wasn't told. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, "Okay, I'll cure you of the speech impediment." What he said basically is, "I know you have this handicap, I know you have this disability, and I'm telling you got to do this job anyway." I think that's the simple reading of the psukim. "I know you have." Didn't say, "Okay, don't worry, I'll cure you." No. Sometimes people are not going to be cured. Okay, there's no cure for certain, Baruch Hashem today, as we'll see shortly, there are a lot of advances. There's no cure, because this is the way people are. It's not even a sickness. It's not the word cure, I think, is not even the right word to use. So the point of the matter is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "I'm telling you can do this job anyway. Never mind. I know you. Me some pel adam. I know. I'm the one who made you this way." Like going back to that Gemara from before, with the Tana and the ugly person. "I know what I made. I'm telling you, you've got to do this job anyhow." In other words, you can accomplish great things. You know, imagine, I mean, you know, somebody once wrote a comical thing. If you look at some of the people in the Tanakh, you know, what does it say? You know, Yitzhak Avinu was blind. Okay, and Yaakov Avinu walked with a limp, and Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment. I mean, one was that's what somebody said, they wouldn't have been welcome in any of our shuls. Right, but then there's more. I forgot what they said about David HaMelech, whatever. Right, a rude shock of red hair, whatever. He looked funny. You know, they wouldn't have been welcome. But you see, a person can achieve greatness, and that's when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Chinuch, the Torah was given to everybody. Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, in the 10th source, Igros Moshe Yordei Chelek Beis Simen Zayin. He says that regardless of whether a person is chayav or even capable of doing the mitzvahs, some people are not capable of doing every mitzvah because of whatever physical handicaps or intellectual handicaps they have. But that's okay, they still have Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara has a discussion with a person who's blind, Rahman al-San, they are blind people. So the Gemara discusses a machlokas with a summa is chayav mitzvah, not chayav mitzvah, a whole machlokas, or how about a perfectly healthy child is under the age of bar bas mitzvah, not obligated to do mitzvahs. But Rav Moshe writes, "Mikol mokum haTorah kula nitin lekulam." V'lachein af leilu shabturim u'maisa mitzvah who ratzon Hashem Yisbarach u'kashiyasu v'lachein yeshem schar. Okay, a person, in other words, they all have kedusha Yisrael. Whatever you do, you get schar for at whatever level, whatever ability you have. Now it's clear from the Gemara in Kedushin and elsewhere that the mitzvah called chinuch. Right, that the parents have to teach their children Torah, no question. That's kedusha b'chof tesem and aleph. The Gemara in Sukkah daf mem beis and aleph says that the appropriate age, a child who knows how to wave the lulav, the father has to buy him a lulav. A child who knows how to put on tefillin or keep his tefillin properly, should have tefillin, tzitzis. Those are all things. That's the mitzvah of chinuch. But you know, it's an interesting question. Where in the world does the mitzvah of chinuch come from? Do we have any pasuk? Can anyone think of any pasuk in the Chumash? There's a whole discussion in poskim. Is the chi of daraisa, the drabbanon, you know, the Rashi seems to say it's a whole chi of chinuch called drabbanon. The chayodon has that it's based on what's called divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah doesn't mean kabbalistic; it means mystic. That's a later application of that word. When the Rishonim taught divrei kabbalah, it means from the navi, the pasuk of navi, Tanakh. It says in Mishlei. We'll get back to this pasuk later. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. That's the source. But there's a fascinating comment that the Meshech Chochma makes in Parshas Vayera on a pasuk that's otherwise an easily dismissed pasuk. If I were writing the Torah, I would put that pasuk in parentheses. But it's a very, very important pasuk. The Meshech Chochma, Rav Meshech Chochma is a Meir Simcha of Divinsk. He died in the early 1900s, and they wrote a classic commentary on the Rambam called the Or Sameach, and a classic commentary on the Chumash called the Meshech Chochma. So he writes in Parshas Vayera, what's going on there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to destroy the city of Sodom, and then he feels bad, so to speak, and he says, you know, I better tell Avram what I'm going to do, because he's going to inherit this whole land. And then it says, parenthetically, and why do I love Avram so much? Because Baruch Hu says, I know that Avram will train his family and so on to follow my ways. Again, like I said, and therefore then it goes on to the story. So like I said, a parenthetical remark. He mentions Avram. In case someone's wondering why I love Avram so much, here's why. So that's a parenthetical remark. But says the Meshech Chochma, in my opinion, this is the Pasuk in Chumash, which teaches the mitzvah of Chinuch. That's the mucker, the source of the mitzvah of Chinuch. Because there is no other Pasuk. You can tell me in this week's Sedra, Eka, we have a Pasuk, V'limadatem osamas b'neichem, but that's Talmud Torah. Teach your children to my Talmud Torah. What about training in mitzvah? So this is the opinion of the Meshech Chochma. But it's striking because that pasuk doesn't speak about mitzvahs per se. It means lishmor derech Hashem lasso stokol mishpat. The essence of chinuch is really to train people to behave properly, to do justice, to follow the derech Hashem. It's not specific, and the Meshech Chochma says that's the mitzvah. What age? So that's a lot of discussion. What age you begin training a child? Right. Sometimes we have I have a grandchild, so he's in camp, so he wants to. He's two, whatever he is, another two. So a little older than two, so he wanted to wear tzitzis, but he's not toilet trained yet. So my daughter told him he can't have tzitzis. Okay, so that's what we do with tzitzis. And what about other mitzvahs when they're a little older, when they're five or six? Depends on the age. That's what it says in the poskim. Tefillin. Our meaning is we don't have a boy put on tefillin until right before the bar mitzvah. A month before, some poskim say it's a shame we have to let a 13-year-old put on tefillin. But there we have no choice. That's, I think, there was a rule. It's like that. There we have no choice because he's 13. But really, tefillin is such kedusha. We're not going to start any earlier than we absolutely have to. So obviously, for every mitzvah, it's different, and it's different for every child. But the bottom line is that there is a mitzvah chinuch based on the child's ability, and it says over there, chanoch lenar al pi darko. You educate the child. That's the pasuk in Mishlei in accordance with his way. Now, I want to mention regarding that pasuk a very interesting comment. It says Chanoch and Arpi Darko. That's the famous part of the pasuk. The second half of the pasuk is less well known. It says Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yosu Mimena, because when he gets older, he won't depart from it. Now, most of the people understand, what does it mean for it? Educate or train the child, Chanoch Lanar Alpi Darko, Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yosu Mimena. I mean, he would train the child in accordance with his ability, because when he gets older, he won't stray from it, meaning presumably from that which you have taught him, from the path, from the chinuch rather that you have given him. Right? You train Chanoch Lanar Alpi Darko, educate the child so that when he's older, he won't stray from that path which you have set him on. That's the regular way of learning the pasuk. But some learn a little differently. I think there's a boy, I think, I don't remember who, I saw this now, but he says something else, and it's so true, and it's true of every child and every adult. Chanoch Lanar Alpi Darko, Gam Ki Yazkin L'Yosu Mimenu, means he's not going to ever go away from that, his way. That's how he is. That's how she is. Train him in accordance, because you're not going to change him. You're not going to. Chanoch Lanar Alpi Darko, Gam Ki Yazkin L'Yosu Mimenu, Mimenu from the Derech. From the Derech, it's his way. You can't make somebody into something that he's not. You can't change a person. Yes, we can do things to influence people in different ways. Sof kol sof, there's certain traits, and you know, my wife says this all the time, nothing to do with our artistic children, about our other children, and about many other children. They are a certain way. They are what they are, so you have to work with the material that you have. Okay? We can't get up and we're going to change everybody, make everybody different, back to the cookie cutter. That's not how it works. Everybody's different. And the mitzvah of chinuch, therefore, varies from age to age. Now, clearly, there are some situations where a person, because of a lack of a certain intellectual ability, someone might be excluded. The Rambam Hilchos, have to be full disclosure, the Rambam Hilchos Deis Perek Tes Halacha Yud discusses what's called Hapsoyim Biyose, the people whose intellectual deficiency is such, Eina Makir Medvarim, they don't understand things, they contradict certain things. Okay, so when it comes to Eidos, testifying, so we're not going to be able to accept the testimony in court. Okay, but again, that's a technical error. Doesn't mean you write the person out of Judaism altogether. Chas v'shalom. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidos. And who determines that? The Rambam writes at the end of Perek Tes Halacha Yud, Hadavar zeh lefi mashira hadayan. The judge has to figure out: is this person able to express what he's talking about? Can we understand? It doesn't mean he's wrong. It means that for this particular case, we can't take his testimony because he doesn't understand what he saw, okay? So that's true. After society has to run. It doesn't mean you write the person off. There are all kinds of differences. You know, Chassam Sofer is a tshuva about it, which I printed here in source number 15. He speaks about, the Gemara talks about very often, Cheresh and Shota. A cheresh is, literally speaking, a deaf mute. At one time, and I'm going to come back to this point momentarily, at one time someone was a deaf mute, was assumed couldn't be taught. No way to teach him. So he didn't know anything, not because he may have had other intellectual ability, but there was no means of communicating. He couldn't communicate back, so it was assumed that they gave, you know, he was a shepherd, whatever he was, you know, whatever he could do, a deaf mute. That's a cheresh. A shota is, again, the Gemara has specific definitions which are beyond tonight. Moshe Feinstein talks about a pesi. Also, again, as does that Chassam Sofer, he says that clearly if the person, it depends on the case. If we can figure out the person knows, then he knows. That's why, for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes, let's move to 17, in Aruch Chaim Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes, that's the laws of benching. He says, can we include in benching, in a mezumin, somebody who has various mental handicaps, okay, or various intellectual deficiencies, we let him account for the mezumin? So says the Ramot at the very end of 17, just like the last line and a half, im mechavnim umavinim, if you see that they're able to focus and understand, mitztarfin lezimon, you can count them in the mezumin. He's not going to become the chief rabbi, but you can count them towards the zimun, okay? And the Mishnah Berurah says, he may not be as wise as everybody else, or as knowledgeable as everybody else, but that doesn't mean you can't count him towards a mezumin. You have to understand the basics. And he says, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Bir Halacha and Siman Nunei, the same thing with counting a person to a minion. This is a relevant question. I mentioned before we had in my shul this young man who's Down syndrome. So let's say there are exactly 10 people in the shul. Can I count them to a minion? It's clear from these posts. Yes, if the person understands. Basically, does he have to know what every word of the Shemoneh Esrei means? How many of us know what every word of the Shemoneh Esrei means? Does he have to know exactly the concept of God, you know, in accordance with the Rambam in the beginning in the Morah Ruchim? No, how many of us know that? He has to have a basic understanding. That's how these posts can write. I quoted on the last page other more contemporary posts can which we'll get to in a second. I just want to mention, though, that it's very fascinating. There's a tshuva from the Shevet Sofer, Eben Ezra Siman Chaf Aleph, source number 20. It's a very fascinating story, and the Rashash talks about it also. And Shevet Sofer was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer. So his father, the son of the Chassam Sofer, was known as the Ksav Sofer. So the Ksav Sofer was taken, and this is now in the 1800s, was taken to a home in Vienna, a home for the deaf, a school, a center for the deaf mutes, and so on and so forth. And when he came in and he saw, they showed him how they're now, in the 1800s, so imagine today, how they're now are able to communicate with these people, they can communicate back and talk. So the Ksav Sofer said right away, we have to get tefillin for all the Jewish patients here. They're not potter. We assume they're potter because they don't, now we see they are capable of understanding, they're able to be trained and worked with and so on. So he said right away, all the Jewish patients have to have tefillin. The Rashash writes the same thing as commentary to Gittin. He said they're obligated to do all the mitzvahs. This was in some famous home for the deaf in, or school for the deaf in Vienna. So today, whether it's with sign language or other things, or other ways, there are other ways to bring out. We found that computer and other things that they bring out, so people have intelligence, have ability. It's different. It's not the same necessarily as the way the majority of people think. But certainly, again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the last three sources, 21, 22, and 23, are not quite contemporary, but the last 20 years. You have the Mincha Shlomo from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Tzitz Eliezer from Leis Yehuda Waldenberg, who just died a couple years ago. I mentioned the other night, he was the chief rabbinic authority for Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. And the last one, Rav Avad Yosef, the Sephardic chief rabbi, is still alive today in his 90s. They all discussed this issue. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that, again, he would treat the person, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, actually, it's interesting, in number 21, he quotes Yosef Shalom Yashiv. Yashiv was just Nifter, but as you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes him, and we agree that that even though the person can't speak and so on, but he's able to sign, that's called Sfas Alogim, he's able to communicate through sign language. So he says, you can't give him an aliyah because he can't say the bracha. That's what he said, he can't say the bracha. A bracha has to be verbalized. Okay, but as far as counting him towards a minion, other things, he goes, Shadino kipikeach, begam mechutana gonna be a sashomal yashiv, nishal akakli, skamnu oz, ledover echot, Shadino kipikeach, rak, linya, lalos a Torah, choshvani, de kemen, shen yochel avor, karoi, mistabish, shen laloso. Again, there are certain technical things you may be excluded from, but the Tzitz Eliezer, again, of Leiz Yudah Waldenberg, in number 22, this is in Chelek Yud Dalet, Simon Samech Tes. He says, just rock lenient edus. There's a matter of testimony in court. Again, a specific area so that people could be excluded. But other than that, again, especially now that people have been trained, there's no issue. And Rav Avad Yosef says also, we encounter these people to a minion, especially for Kaddish, that's the Chelek Beis of Yechavadah, for Kaddish, Kedusha, for Minyonim, and so on and so forth. In any event, I would say from all these poskim is that it's clear that people who have a different way of thinking, especially today with so many strides have been made, that we see that these people in fact have intelligence, sometimes they call it hidden intelligence, all kinds of, I say, politically correct words and phrases and so on to describe. But all of this indicates that we are, as a community, to interact with these people, we count them, they have Kedushas Yisrael, they're members of Klal Yisrael, there's inclusion, everything else. Now, it goes out, I've been focusing more on mental disabilities, but really, clearly when it comes to physical disability, so again, it's the responsibility where there's no mental issues at all, but a person just, can't walk or whatever it is. So clearly, the shul should be accessible, shul should be, should have an opportunity for everybody to be included. I mean, again, we need to, there's been great strides made in recent years in terms of accessibility to public places for the handicapped and ramps and everything else. So there's no reason that our shuls and our Jewish community centers and our yeshivas should lag behind. I heard a terrific story. There was a... that brings me to tears just to think of the story. I'm sorry. I heard the story from someone who saw it firsthand. That there's a school which has, there's steps going up to the front of the school, and there are ramps on the side because there are a couple kids who are in wheelchairs or whatever else who need the ramp. And it was an unexpected, snow or ice or something in the morning, and the buses were getting there, and the custodian was, you know, frantically chopping at the ice on the steps, you know, while the kids were waiting. They didn't want the kids had gotten off the bus, and apparently there was ice and so on and so forth. And this girl who in a wheelchair was waiting for the, you know, for the ramp. So she said, she asked, can you do the ramp? And I think she meant, you know, don't forget about the ramp. That's what he thought she meant. And he kind of, you know, I guess snapped at her and said something like, you're going to have to wait. I've got to do the steps first. And she said to him, you know, if we do the ramp first, everybody could walk up. Which is just, you know, you don't think of it that way. But when you make something accessible to everybody, so everybody could use it. We can, those of us who can use the steps easily can also use a ramp. And she couldn't use the steps, but she needed the ramp. I think, you know, the point is clear. But I think we go back to that issue, really, of viewing everybody being B'Tselem Elokim and not treating people as Chesed Project. Again, I'm in favor, I don't want to be misquoted, I'm in favor of Chesed Project. And sometimes that's the way to get people out. But really, it's more important, again, I can speak from my own son, who was mentioned that somebody's here from the Friendship Circle. So we have a Friendship Circle, and I live in Teaneck. We have a Friendship Circle in Teaneck as well. And, you know, for my son, it's very difficult because his issues are social issues and communication issues. So he doesn't have friends that are going to, you know, call him, you know, to go wherever, you know, high school kids go. But one of the things the Friendship Circle arranges that every Shabbos, some boys came over to the house and they went to the park and they took him. I can't tell you how much it meant to him that he had some peer contact. And as my father said during his bar mitzvah, he wants to be loved and liked and have a relationship just like everybody else. And I'll share with you something else, which is an unbelievable thing that was done again in our community by the Sinai School. I couldn't believe it myself the first time. The school decided to put on a play. School play. And I'm trying to think, I think the first year they did, Newsies. I don't know that play, Newsies. That play. They've already done four, that's all I know. And what did I think? My wife and I are going to go. What are these kids going to do already? I'm telling you, that's what I thought. What are these kids going to do? It'll be, we'll go, you know. I have to say that, you know, I'm a bit of a weeper anyway, but I wept for an hour just watching. They put on what was a real good camp play. A camp play, you know, with scenery. Of course, the teachers grew and so on and so forth. And the kids, what those kids were able to do, we saw our son do it. Then they did Willy Wonka the following year. The last year it was Peter Pan. He was Peter Pan. I can't tell you, I couldn't. They work on it, of course, a tremendous amount. But what the kids were able to do, we saw, and the teachers were so intelligent, figuring out what could each kid do. My wife wrote a letter after the first year to the school and said, you focused on their abilities and not their disabilities. And I thought it was a very sharp line, because that's really the message. I'm a father, and we had the child in our house, and Baruch Hashem saw so many great strides. I didn't have a havamina that this play was anything, just, you know, kids were going to mumble whatever they're going to do. And, you know, it was a real good, I mean, it was a kid's play, you know, but it was really impressive, and they've done it now every year since then. And it means so much. You don't think, you know, to my son, you know, who's 17, that when he comes out at the play and takes a bow and the whole room claps, you don't think that uplifts him? Is anyone here who would not be personally uplifted by that experience? Don't we all like to get a pat on the back? Don't we all like to be told when we've done a job properly and so on? So that's what they're people, they're kids, they're adults, whatever that, they want the same thing, they have the same joy. This was their moment in the sun, this play, and it's really a tremendous thing. My point is that communities and educators, you know, need to figure out ways to do chanoch and arpi darko. Today, again, you know, with many of the children, my son's disability, he's fast on the computer, definitely better than me. Okay, that doesn't take that much. But the truth is that, you know, he can find things and, you know, when he wants to. I mean, my wife likes to say sometimes that he has selective autism, because there's certain areas where he knows exactly what has to be done, and he can search for things, whether it's on a computer, you know, he's self-sufficient in many ways. But of course, many kids are different. And, you know, one thing we learned is there is no one diagnosis, there is no one, but we have to be open as a community. Shuls have to be open. Shuls have to be, again, simply, going back, coming full circle. These are people with Tzelem Elokim, these are people with Kedushas Yisrael, and as I said before, they have what to contribute. And I'll just conclude with an email. I'll be able to take questions when he has. I got an email today, I can show it to you on my BlackBerry. An email today from the school, the Sinai school, he's entering the last grade, and they're trying to figure out. He happens to, you know, enjoy what he's told is halachically correct. He's very excited, for example, for some reason, and we don't know why. He's very excited about Kiddush Levana. It's one of his favorite mitzvahs. I don't know why. I taught us in the school. The school taught us from us. None of us know why. But one of the things, with time for Kiddush, he knows, so he's very calendar sense. He knows exactly when there's going to be Kiddush Levana, and he comes to the shul. He gives out the Kiddush Levana cards, you know, people go out. But he's also very pleased when somehow he knows that this is what the halacha is. So the teacher, the head of the school, wrote to us, is there anything he can do? We thought it would be a good idea for him to get involved in helping with the Erev in our community. You know, because he's very hands-on. If he has to move, he'll help move boards or, you know, whatever. She said, anything to do with the Erev. So I got this email today. I asked if, I called my wife because I asked her, do you see the email? She hadn't seen it yet. So she said, it's interesting. It's interesting because I have to speak to the rabbis in charge of the Erev in our community to see if there's anything to do. It just happens that I'm the rabbi in charge of the Erev in the community. So, but I never thought, you know, is there something he can do? I never thought about it. And that, it was a lesson, you know, maybe there is something he can do. And I think as communities, we have to figure out to be inclusive. And as I said, like the other young man that we have in our shul who sets up the Shalosh Shudas, and he considers himself in his way the president of the shul. And in some ways he is, in terms of, we call him the manager, the shamus, whatever the term used to be. So he feels part of it. You know, I don't know the situation here in this shul, but I'm sure the people here are sensitive people. We just have to, you know, sort of plug in, tune in, and we can benefit a lot. We can learn from these people and be helped by them and really treat them as regular members of our community. That's the message of inclusion, and that's the message of full membership in Klal Yisrael. Full membership in Klal Yisrael. And I showed you the Gedolei HaPoskim, you know, in contemporary times, you know, the last people I mentioned, Shlomo Zalman, Vayashev, Rabbi Waldenberg, Rabbi Yosef, they all speak about counting them to a minion and doing what we can to include them, and that's our message for this evening. I thank you for listening. I hope you all have a great day.
Any questions?
Any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mentioned about it. Tzelem Elokim does, because the Pasuk is mentioned with regards to the mission Pirkei is everybody who's created Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv and Yisrael, could we have something else? But Tzelem Elokim does apply to Nandrit, yeah. Okay? Oh, yeah.
Mental. I suppose, it might be shared itself, but about inclusion of people, of Jews who are not religious, but who claim to have a form of Judaism. Like, they're not irreligious because they don't care. They have another form of Judaism which Orthodox is not recognized.
Right. So it depends on whether Orthodox is not recognized. That's a shear by itself also. But I'll mention very briefly that Orthodoxy recognizes every Jew. We recognize every Jew. We don't approve of certain approaches to halacha and to hanhaga that we think is against the Torah and against, but we don't write off any Jew. Chas v'shalom. Every Jew is to be welcomed. Every Jew is to be now. Obviously, there have to be certain standards. So we don't want somebody, let's say, comes into the shul. Let's say it comes in not dressed properly. But does it mean we embarrass the person? Chas v'shalom. Someone has to speak to them privately and say, in our shul, this is how we dress. Or some shuls, you know, if somebody walks in with a ham sandwich, so you got to talk to the person. He didn't know that it was, you know, Kir v'chokim and that kind of thing. But even not in the realm of Kir v'chokim, just including and welcoming, we should be welcoming to everybody. Anyone who walks into our shul and walks in our community. Now, you have to buy into the mission. Okay, if someone wants to come to the yeshiva, so we have to understand, but you know, coming to the yeshiva means you only bring kosher food for lunch and so on. We have standards. We're allowed to have standards. We don't mock somebody else. We don't write them off because they don't have the same standards, but we're allowed within our institutions to have the standards that we stand for. But we don't reject any person. Don't reject any person. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Oh.